Okay, morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Shabbos, Kuf Nun Gimel. We finished today the 23rd parak of Shabbos, God willing. We start the 24th parak of Shabbos this morning, and that, of course, will be the final parak of Shabbos. Yesterday's Daf, Kuf Nun Beis. So it was talking about old age and death. Nice, uplifting Daf yesterday. The Kuf Nun Beis Amud Aleph was exclusively dealt with old age. Kuf Nun Beis Amud Beis dealt with death. And the Gemara discusses what exactly the person knows after he dies. At what point in time is he still circulating in this world with the knowledge of what's going on in this world? So that was a discussion of yesterday's daf. We are continuing on the daf. We're on the bottom of Kuf Nun Beis Amud Beis. We're about four or five lines from the bottom of the Amud. Yesterday, we ended up with a piece of Agarata dealing with an Amora who found another Amora's body interred and complete with bone, with sinew, with flesh. And he asked him, okay, why don't you just simply get up and go home? And the answer he gave, and this is where we left off yesterday, is that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's job. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell me when to get up and go home. It's not for me to decide. Okay. I'm sorry. That was the response. So then the question was, well, when do we have the pasuk in Bereishis? The pasuk in Bereishis says that we're gonna go back to dust. You know, for everybody else, we're gonna go back to dust. What about you? So he says, Shah achas kodem tchias amesim. That'll be the last moment right before tchias amesim. I return to dust and then I come back. And oh, by the way, decomposition of the human body. The Gemara explained yesterday. What is that a result of? Remember, the Gemara's answer yesterday was jealousy. Person's jealous in this world, so that results in decomposition of the body in the grave. Amaleha Tzeduki la Rabbi Abahu. Another conversation between a Tzeduki and Rabbi Abahu. Yesterday we had interesting dialogues between various Minim heretics and the Amoraim. Here the Gemara presents another one. Amiras or Nishmas Mashal Tzadikim Gnuzas Tachas Kisei HaKavod. So where are the Nishamas of Tzadikim? So they are tucked away under the Kisei HaKavod. So he's skeptical. Well, of course he is. He's a Tzeduki. That's their skeptical nature. Uba Tamya Hecha Aske Lishmuel. You read a Navi how, after Shmuel dies and Shaul wants to have a conversation with Shmuel, so Shaul goes over to his local spirit conjurer upper, and he says to him, I'd like to speak to Shmuel and bring Shmuel back down. So, just out of curiosity, how'd you do that? Meaning, and we have this tradition, or less than not we, he excludes himself, right? Hotzias Asmo Menayikar. He excludes himself from the whole discussion. But he says, but you people, you have this tradition that the neshamas go up to Shemaim. So how in the world how can you bring him back down again? So within the first 12 months, it's possible to bring it down. Daniel went to Nebraska. Kol yud beis chodesh gufo kaim nishmaso ole v'yoredes. For 12 months, the guf is kaim, meaning there is not full decomposition of the body, and the neshamas go up and down. L'achrid beis chodesh haguf bata, but after 12 months post-mortem, v'nishmaso ole v'shuv v'ne yoredes, the neshama goes up and the neshama does not go back down. So I brought Shmuel down, not I. Shaul was able to bring Shmuel back down again simply because it was within 12 months. I'm Rav Yehuda Breider Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav Mesper Shaladim Nikar Im Ben Olam Bahu Im Lav. The test to know whether a person is going to receive Olam Haba or not is watch what happens at the Hesped. If you watch what happens at the Hesped, so you will know if he's a Ben Olam Haba. So what are you watching for? So if you take a look at Rashi, Tab Rashi in the Amud, he writes in Ben Olam Abahu, Shim Kasher Haya, HaKol Bochen Alav, Amridim Demos, Mesaprim Shivcho. So if the man is an Adam Kasher, right, good guy, lived a good life, so you'll see people are going to be crying. People will be speaking praise about the individual. You know the person's a Ben Olam Haba. Im Laveino, Ba'amar Le'Rav Shmuel Bar Shilasach, Im Be'espeida. So the Gemara says, yeah, but what about the fact that Rav told Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, when you give me a hesped, meaning after 120, when you give me a hesped, So I want you to be moving in your hesped, meaning really get people to get emotional about me. The hasam ka'imna, because I will be there. Okay, in other words, we have a tradition, and part of the tradition comes right here from this Gemara, that the person himself, the mace himself, is right there at the hesped, listening to the hesped. In fact, there's a discussion about who the hesped is actually for. Is it for those who suffer the loss, or the actual mace himself, was the Gemara in Mohikan? Either way, point being, Rav says, I'm going to be there. And because I'm going to be there, so I want you to really... really make it strong, make it moving. So the there's a discussion. I'm sure you can imagine. There's a discussion in terms of every hesped sounds wonderful. So how much you have to be honest. I mean, you got to be truthful. But there is room in halacha. I know it's hard to imagine. It's not so hard to imagine. There's room in halacha to not lie, but to spin a little bit, right? Embellish a little bit. So the the point the Gemara is trying to wonder is, why does Rav need to really encourage the hesped to be a wonderful hesped? Meaning, let it just be. Meaning, isn't the in other words, the test? If something is a test, especially the hesped, so then it should stand on its own. The test should stand on its own. And if we're trying over here to kind of like bribe the jury, right, by saying, I want you to give a really strong hesped. The test is a test. It should be an objective test. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha had mechamu leva achim, had mechamu leva lo achim. Now, what does that mean? If you take a look at Rashi, very interesting Rashi. So Rashi says, had mechamu lei, Rashi, lehesped of achim, la'olam chamu mebayi she'im b'nei adam nechmarim kolkach al zaken. So Rashi says, look, somebody who's old and dies, it's sad, but it doesn't bring people to tears, meaning that's natural. That's, Rashi says, it's a normal part of life. And so people aren't going to be moved so much at the eulogy of somebody who's very old. However, as long as the person's a chassid, and as long as the eulogy, the hesped, is speaking to that, so you get people to cry. However, someone's not such a chassid, so regardless of how well the eulogy is going to go, if he's not a chassid, and the eulogy could be a wonderful eulogy, but you're not going to get people really to get moved at the eulogy. Amalei Abayla Rava Kigon Mar Desanolei Kulupum Badisa Man Achim Espeda. So Abayi says to Rava, look, in Pumbedisa they don't like you. In fact, the entire city of Pumbedisa hates you. So how exactly are you going to get moved at the eulogy? Now let's go over this a little bit more. Oh, everyone in Pumbedisa hates Rava. So yes, the simple answer is that's correct. And for what reason? So if you take a look at Rashi writes Mishum Demuchach Luhu B'Milchashmaya, because what he did most of his life is he spent time reprimanding and rebuking the entire town of Pumbedisa. And Pumbedisa was a tough town to rebuke, meaning some towns are easy to rebuke. You go in there and you give them muster and they're listening and they're nodding. You're right. And some towns are a little bit edgier and you go in there and you give them muster and they don't listen. So I guess it calls into question whether or not you should give muster to begin with. But no, there's still an obligation of tochacha. Right? That's his job. that's the rabbi's job. It's not an easy job. So thank God I don't know from it, but it is not an easy job. So anyway, so in Pumbedisa, they didn't like it. And as Rashiel continues to point out, people in Pumbedisa, they were not nice people. They weren't good people. Remind Hank, Pumbedisa lav yach shani ushpezech. Great line in the Gemara in Chulin. Let's say you're walking side by side by somebody from Pumbedisa. Okay? They're cheats. They steal. So you're walking side by side with somebody in Pumbedisa and you're traveling together. And now it comes to question of where you're going to sleep tonight. So you don't want to be sleeping with the guy from Pumbedisa. So what do? So you tell the guy from Pumbedisa, oh, that's a hotel you're staying at? Good. I'm sorry, I don't have a reservation at that hotel. I have a reservation at that hotel. So in other words, the Gemara in Chulin says very clearly that don't sleep in the same place as the person from Pumbedisa. You're going to lose all your... You lose your money. Okay. So, now back to our Gemara. So, Who's going to cry for you because nobody from Pumbedisa will? So Amalei Misaya Atvra Barav Chana. So he says, okay. Now you're right. Most of the people won't cry when I die, but two people are going to cry. Good enough. By Minei Rabbi Lazar Rav Ezu Ben Olam Abba. Once again, the Gemara wants to know what are other tests, ways of knowing whether or not a person's a Ben Olam Abba. Amalei Vaznach Tishmana Davra Me'acharecha. Lomar Zua Derech Lechubo. So the Gemara says that after you die, if you hear people say, you know the way he went in life, right? You see the way he operated in life? You should operate the same. If people are emulating your ways and people are saying that's a good way to go, so that means that you're a Ben Olam Haba. Rabbi Chanina Amar Kol Shadas Rabbi Tzina Nocha Heimenu. If the rabbis are happy with such an individual, that person's a Ben Olam Haba. V'savu b'shuk ha'sofdim b'nei gilil amri aseh dvarim lefnei mitchasa mitascha. B'nei Yehuda amri aseh dvarim la'acha mitascha. The Gemara over here describes two communities. B'nei Galila, that's the northern community. That's Tveria, Tzipori. B'nei Yehuda, that's the southern community, Yerushalayim. So in they're basically saying the same thing, just slightly different in terms of the Menhagim. The B'nei Galila say, do something which will be spoken about Lifnei Mitascha. Lifnei Mitascha means before you're actually buried. Meaning they're, as the Gemara is going about to point out, they eulogize before the burial. So, Lifnei Mitascha. And B'nei Yehuda, Aseh Dvarim La'acha Mitascha. After the burial, V'lo Pligi Marki Asrei Marki Asrei. Now, there's no machlokas over here. It's just a question of different menhagim. For the B'nei Galil, they eulogized before burial. B'nei Yehuda, they eulogized after burial. But point being, is that if at the eulogy, the Hespedim are, this guy was a good guy and you should emulate his ways and he really knew what he was doing, so then, you know, the person's a Ben Olam Haba. Tanan Hasam, we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar, Omer Shuv, Yom Echa Lefnei Mitascha. Okay, strategy. Excellent strategy. So one day before you die, so you should do tshuva. Okay. Perfect. Shalu Tamid of his Rabbi Eliezer. Good. You should be asking the question. Vichi Adam Yodezu Yom Yamos. Okay, there's one problem with the strategy, and that is that there's a variable. So every formula can be easily solved if you know the numbers. But if you don't know the numbers, it's a very difficult formula to solve. You know, every algebraic formula can reduce down to, especially if there's more than one variable. But in other words, you gotta know the numbers. So Amalem v'choshekin yashuv hayom. So Rabbi Eliezer says exactly the point. So why don't we make it today? I mean, you don't know the Yom Hamisa, that is a variable. So every day. So hayom shema yamos lamachar v'nimsa kol yamav b'tshuva, and you will be a constant bal tshuva. Okay, not so bad to be a bal tshuva. In fact, Gemara makes it sound like over here it's preferred. And finally, we have a pasuk. The Gemara quotes over here from Koheles, although not like yesterday, where most of our day we spent in Koheles Perek Yud Beis. Today, now Koheles Perek Tes. Actually, this is the only pasuk from Perek Tes today. Every day, your clothing should be white, and oil should be on your head. Al Yachsar, you won't be missing anything. I'm Rav Yochim and Zakai. Mashal Amelech Sheziman Es Avadav L'Seuda. So the Gemara over here gives a simple drush, very simple and straightforward mashal. The point will be made very clearly. The king invites all of his avadim to a meal, V'lo Kavalam Zman, but he doesn't tell them when exactly the meal is going to occur. Bichim Shebehem Kishu Asatzman V'Yashua Pesach Beis Amelech. So, those that were smart, so always prepared themselves in anticipation of when the big meal would come. So they adorned themselves, they stood at the entrance of the king's door, the Amru Klum Chaser Lebeis HaMelech, Lebeis HaMelech, meaning we're not missing, we're not deficient, we are prepared at all times to go into the king's Seuda when the invitation in fact comes. Tishin Shebehem Ha'achul HaMelechtam. Now those that were not smart, so they went to work. Amru klum yeshuda b'lo torach. So he says, you know, it takes time to prepare a meal, right? The king's not going to have the meal ready today, tomorrow. We have time before the meal comes. Suddenly, so the king says, okay, everyone, let's come in. And so now the pichim who were prepared, who were dressed, who were ready, so they went into the meal looking good. And the Tifshin, they weren't ready for the meal. They weren't dressed, and they walked in with their dirty clothing. King was happy to see those that were smart, not pleased, angered by those that were tipesh. Amar alala shekishu atzma l'suda yashvu v'yachlu v'yishtu. Alala shalokishu atzma l'suda yamdu v'yiru. So the those that were mekushat, those that were dressed and ready for the suda, they sat down the meal and they ate for the meal. And those that were not ready stood and watched those that did eat. Chazno shel Reb Meir, Mishum Reb Meir Amar. And then the Gemara quotes in the name of Reb Meir, the son-in-law of Reb Meir says in the name of Reb Meir, Ave Nirin Ke Mishamshin. So he says you're not really describing it as poorly as you could, meaning because there the tipshim, at least they look like they belong at the meal. They could say that they're waitering, they're servicing, they're busboys. Ela elu ve'elu yoshvin. So he says, no, it's worse than that. Everyone sitting down at the meal, both those that were dressed properly and those that were not dressed properly. Halalu ochlim halalu re'even. And those that were dressed properly ate, those that were not dressed properly starved. Halalu shosim v'halalu smeyim. One group were drinking, the other group were not drinking. Shenem rekarma Hashem ini avdi ochlu v'atem tir avu. Hine avdi yeshtu v'atem titzma'u. Hine avdi yeronu mituv lev v'atem titzak'u mika'ev lev. Okay, pretty strong hammering of the point in terms of being prepared for the Yom HaMisa and the Yom HaDin. By the way, we found in Chumash, we find basically the same idea at the end of Parshas Baaloscha, right? Moshe, who abstains having relations with his wife, and his sister and his brother are complaining, what's going on over here? How come he abstain? And in fact, the Torah uses the exact same lashon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu approaches to them pitom, right? Immediately, suddenly. And so, and as Rashi describes over there, Miriam and Aaron were not ready. They were about Keri. They weren't ready. And Moshe was ready. So in other words, same basic idea. Because it's a variable and because you don't know, you always need to be prepared. One last piece of drush. Avracha b'chol eis yu begadech levanim elu tzitzis v'shemen aroshcha yachzar elu tefillin. So the pasuk that we quoted, that you should always have white clothing and oil on your head, the pasuk from Koheles. So we said up until now that it has to do with being prepared for the Yom Misa. The Gemara gives one last drush, which is that the begadim levanim as a reference, the tzitzis should be white. And shemen al roshcha, oil on the head, that's a reference to tefillin. How do we get from oil to tefillin? If you look at the last Rashi of the Perek, Rashi writes, Shehem shem mishemen hatov. Dechsiv kol ra'veru kol me'aretzki shem v'tayna revelaz v'gadol amre elu tefillin shebarosh. Go back to Brachos, go back to the beginning of Brachos. We said that when they see shem Hashem upon you, so the nations will see and they're all going to be in awe and in fear of the Jewish people. And specifically, it's referring to tefillin, and more specifically, it's referring to tefillin shel Rosh. And, right, of course, we all know the halacha Moshe Mesinai, that there's the letter shin on the tefillin shel Rosh, obviously having to do with the shame. And shemen, by the way, is a takeoff of the word shame. Shemen is shun mem nun. Hadran alach shoal, that is the end of the 23rd perek of Shabbos. Okay, we are now about to embark on the last parak of Shabbos, parak number 24. Okay, making this one of the largest mesechtas in Shas in terms of parakim. You're not going to find, at least in the cycle of Daf Yomi, you're not going to find a mesechta that is larger than Shabbos. There is mesechta Kalim, which has 30 parakim to it, but we don't do it in Daf Yomi. It's part of Taharos. So, and there was once upon a time where all the bavas were blended together so that you had Baba Kama, Baba Mitzia, and Baba Basra all together. Each one of them has 10 prakim, so that makes up a mesecht of 30 prakim, but Bizman Azeh, we divide into three sections, and so therefore each one of them is only 10 prakim, only. So obviously Shabbos now becomes the leader in terms of, in the Shas cycle, in terms of the largest Masechta in Shas.
Prakim it is, but in terms of pages...
Agreed. I'm just talking in terms of Prakim. The 24th parak of Shabbos, Mishiyichshich Baderech, so deals with a scenario that it happens. I've heard a couple of stories in terms of it happens. To me, it happened once, years ago, where you get caught, you get stuck on the way home, and you don't make it home before Shabbos. Now, obviously, you'll find it in every Hilchos Shabbos Sefer. You'll find it in the Mishnah Berurah, where basically make sure to get home in time for Shabbos, right? Give yourself enough time. You're working, you're traveling, whatever the case is, right? I do travel on Erev Shabbos on Friday. I'll take a flight on Friday, but basically be careful, meaning it's dangerous. So the Mishnah here describes what happens where you get stuck on the way. You're on the way home, and you get stuck on the way home. So the chief concern of the Mishnah is your wallet. Okay, what are you going to do with your wallet? Meaning, you're obviously stuck and you are now needing to get home. Now, there are going to be issues of tchum, but right now we're not going to deal with tchum. Meaning, let's assume that you're within tchum of the house. Because if you're not within tchum, so then you really are stuck. You're literally stuck. And that's a different topic for a different time. I.e., we're going to start Erevin in about a week. But right now we're just dealing with the fact that your wallet's in your pocket. You can't carry the wallet. Carrying the wallet, let's assume that you're walking home on a main thoroughfare in a Rishus HaRabim. So carrying the wallet in the Rishus HaRabim would constitute Nisa Daraisa. And then when you go from the Rishus HaRabim into your house, so now you transferred from the Rishus HaRabim to the Rishus HaYachin with a wallet in hand or in pocket, and that would be Nisa Daraisa. So basically now the Mishnah is going to deal with what do you do with your wallet. So if, obviously the Mishnah means if, if you're walking home with a non-Jew, so you hand it over to the non-Jew and say, look, here, hold it for me. So now it sounds like from the Mishnah you're giving it to him on Shabbos, right? In fact, the Mishnah starts off with the words, Mishehichshech, meaning it's choshech, it's dark. So it sounds like you're handing it to him on Shabbos. Now, generally speaking... stay tuned. We'll talk about it. So, but basically... You're basically instructing a non-Jew to do something that you yourself can't do on Shabbos, and that violates what Isser? So it violates the Isser de Rabbanan of Amir La'akum. We know we've discussed it, Kuf Chaf Aleph Kuf Chaf Beis, right? Some 30 days ago, a month ago, that there's an Isser on Shabbos of Amir La'akum. You cannot tell a non-Jew to do a malacha for you on Shabbos. So how over here do we have license and a right to give your wallet over to a non-Jew and say, hey, you carry this? Stay tuned. We're gonna discuss. Now you're right, by the way. Rashi does say miba od yom. Okay, but stay tuned because we're gonna discuss Amir Lakum. So now, let's say you don't have a non-Jew walking alongside of you. So menich alachamor, put on your donkey. He yell a chatzar chitzona. Now when you get to the chatzar chitzona literally means the outer courtyard. Rashi says that it is the outer courtyard of the city. Shel irshu makom hamishamer rishon uval farek menachamor. And now basically it's the first safe place that you have arrived at, where now you know that if you deposit your wallet over here, it will be safe. So once you get to the chatzar chitzona, no, tell us to kill him, and you tell him b'shabbos. So anything which is a non-muksa item, so you simply take it off the donkey carefully. For all the rest of the muksa items, so what do? You untie the saddle and let it all fall on its own. This is what's called tiltum anatsad, indirect movement of muksa. That would be fine. So the non-muksa items, you could just simply take off carefully, and the rest of it, just let it drop right there.
Isn't the donkey working for you?
That's an excellent question. The Gemara is going to ask that very question. My time of Sharulei Rabbanan lemeis of kisei lenachri. Well, how can the Chachamim allow you to do that? Now, let's assume, like Rashi, that we're talking about this is before Shabbos, but still, it doesn't matter. You're asking him to carry it on Shabbos, meaning this Isser of Amir La'akum would be true not only if you're asking on Shabbos itself, but let's say before Shabbos, you say, look, tonight, come into my house, turn on my lights. You can't do that. You're not allowed to do that. That's part of the Isser of Amir La'akum. So, if so, so how can you ask the non-Jew to hold your wallet? Not hold, carry your wallet for you on Shabbos, something that you yourself cannot do. There's an interesting Rashi. Rashi is discussed at length. Rashi writes the first Rashi of the Gemara, Maitama Sharle La Mesa Lanachri, Vaharehu Shlucho Lisa Enu Bashabis. He becomes your shliach, so that now he's going to be carrying it on Shabbos for you. And we have the general rule, shluchu shel adam kamoso, that once you appoint somebody as your agent, the agent becomes you. So when he's carrying it on Shabbos, it's tantamount to you carrying it on Shabbos. Now, if you understand shlichus in the classic definition of shlichus, it doesn't really apply here. First of all, ein shlichus dvar avera. There is no shlichus for something which is usher to do. On top of that, also, there's no shlichus by a non-Jew. Shlichus is only by a Jew. So, but I don't think, I mean...
Correct.
Shlichus over here is not to be understood in the classic sense. Meaning it's not, we're not going to give classic definitions of what shlichus is over here. We're just simply saying that when you're asking him to do something for you on Shabbos, something that you yourself want to do, but it's Shabbos, so you can't do it, and therefore you ask him to do it, that's no. You can't do that, because essentially, by asking him to do it by proxy, that means you're doing it. So that's a simple Pshan Rashi, that he uses the word shlichus over here. Okay, but to make something a little less complicated, the question of the Gemara here is very simple. You can't ask him to do something for you on Shabbos. That is asur min derabbanan. So the Gemara now wonders, how come the Mishnah over here is allowing you to give the non-Jew your wallet? Very simple question. So, kimlu l'rabbanan de'ina d'man min asma mamono. We saw this idea of throwing around already a number of times in the Masechta. Here the Gemara says it again, because this is your wallet. Your wallet's got money in it. Okay, and we tend to have a concern and a regard for our money. And by the way, that's not a bad thing, right? Yaakov went back in to get his pachim ketanim. Okay, in other words, you got to respect the money. You got to take care of the money. Obviously, you understand that it's money. It's just money, but you understand though. The chachamim understood the psychology of people. It's hard. It's very difficult. That's your money. You're just going to just give up your wallet. So, and had the Chachamim not given you that heter, that allowance to give it to a non-Jew, what you would have done then, not because you're a bad guy, just simply because we're human beings, is that you would have carried it for Amos and Rishos Arabim. And so the Chachamim basically did halachic triage. You know, we don't want people to carry for Amos and Rishos Arabim, so the less worse thing would be to give it to a non-Jew and let him carry it. That's still an Isser, but that's an Isser d'Rabbanan, carrying it for Amos and Rishos Rabim. That's an Isser d'Oraisa. Amar Ava Dafki Kisav Amitzialam. Now, it's got to be your money. But let's say, on your way home, you found something. You found an item, a Mitzia. Okay, now a Mitzia, right, it's a godsend. Meaning, you didn't do anything. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. So you're not as attached to a metzia as you would be the money in your wallet. So the Gemara says, so our mishnah that allows you to give the kiso to a non-Jew is specifically talking about money that you earned. But if it's just a metzia, so then the chachamim don't give you such a heter. They're assuming that you're going to be able to drop it. So pshita kiso tana. Now the Gemara says, okay, but that's exactly what the Mishnah says. What you could have argued is that the Mishnah over here wasn't specific. The Mishnah was giving the example of Kisa because that's the usual case. But it could be that the halacha would be true for Abaye Metzia as well. Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush of Rava, that there's a distinction between the money that you earn versus money you found on the floor. Now, obviously, by the way, we're talking about money you found on the floor before Shabbos. Meaning, if you're walking home on Shabbos and you see money on the floor, oh, look at that, Metzia. You're not even allowed to pick up that money. It's mukta. Obviously, we're talking about money that you found right before Shabbos. V'lo marnelo delo asiliyadei. Ava asiliyadei kikisei dami. Now the Gemara points out, what if you found this mitzvah sometime earlier? And and now, in other words, basically the question becomes like this. When does the mitzvah become yours? Meaning, look, there's money you earned and there's money you found. But ultimately, even if it's money you found, ultimately, eventually, it will become yours. You will become attached to it. So, ikidami by Rava mitzvah abali adam ma'u kem and dalsi liyade kikisei dami. Odom akim and dalotarach bu lav kikisei dami teiku. And the Gemara basically asks this question. The Gemara doesn't have an answer. Meaning you found it sometime before Shabbos. You picked it up. So, do we say that eventually it's yours? Which means that just like you have the heter to hand over the wallet to a non-Jew, you can hand over the mitzvah to a non-Jew as well? Or no? You didn't work for it. You didn't earn it. So therefore, it always will be different and distinct than money that you earned, and therefore, you don't have the right to give it over to a non-Jew. Teiku, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. Now, so the Gemara now, in classic form, is going to try to organize who's it better to give it to. Meaning, we have choices in our Mishnah, and our Mishnah pretty much tells us what choices to make. Meaning, here I have either a non-Jew or an animal. On Shabbos, we're speaking now, this is a legal discussion, right? This is not, has nothing to do with societal status. This is a strictly legal discussion. Who is it better to give it to? Meaning, what Shabbos violation is greater if I gave it to the non-Jew or if I gave it to an animal? Interestingly enough, there's greater Shabbos violation if I give it to an animal. Over the non-Jew. And we're speaking specifically about my animal. And the Gemara spells this out. My time chamor tamitzuv al shvisa so, nachriya tamitzuv al shvisa so. A very simple equation. When it comes to the non-Jew, he's not a Shomer Shabbos. In fact, like we discussed a number of times, he's not allowed to be a Shomer Shabbos. So, there's no mitzvah of shvisa for the non-Jew. For the animal, specifically your animal, there's a mitzvah that your animal has to be a Shomer Shabbos. So, it's a no-brainer. If given the choice, you give it to the non-Jew before you give it to your animal. Chamor v'cheirishot v'katan. Now, okay, the Gemara here is going to get interesting. Okay, now, what if the choices are as follows? Donkey, cheirish, shota. Cheirish is a deaf mute in the times of the Gemara, in the times of the Mishnah, they didn't have das. They didn't have cognitive ability, and therefore they weren't obligated to mitzvahs. Shota, clinically insane. And a katan, and a minor, okay, who is clinically insane but has a great prognosis. Okay, so achamor manachle. Thank you. I know. Achamor manachle. So you put it on the chamor, you put it on the donkey. Donkey is going to be less Shabbos violation. Because even though there is an obligation for your animals to be a Shomer Shabbos, but again, just make sure that you have everything in perspective. The animal's an animal; they're humans. So employ the animal to do work for you on Shabbos before employing the humans. Now let's whittle this down. Now let's say their choices are either a cheresh or a shota, l'shota. So you give it to a shota, meaning a shota is someone who's clinically insane. He doesn't have any das at all. Cheresh is, look, he's obviously limited, but he has... The way Rashi describes it is he has data klishasa islay. He's got some modicum of cognitive ability, more so than the person who is the shota. So shota vikatan. Now let's say your choices are a shota vikatan, shota lishota. Give it to the shota because, as I quipped just a moment ago, at least the katan has a good prognosis, right? There's a chance, a good chance, in fact, that he will result in a bardas. Where meanwhile the shota, less of a not a good prognosis. Ibalu cheresh v'katan mai. So what about the cheresh and the katan? So your choice now is to give it to a cheresh or to give it to a katan. Now here, a little bit of a toss-up. Cheresh has got a little bit of das. Katan has no das, but excellent prognosis. He will become a bar hachi. Now the Gemara says, if you are the Tana of Rabbi Eliezer, this is not even a question. It's a no-brainer. Well, which way are we going to go? Trumas cheresh, first we're going to learn a braisa, and then you'll see it's a no-brainer. Trumas cheresh lo seitze lechulim imnei shi safek. Let's say a cheresh is mafresh truma. Now he shouldn't. Meaning don't give him the opportunity to do so. But if he does, so that means that there's a pile of produce, it's tevel, no trumas amaisis has been removed, has been separated, and along comes the cheresh, and he needs to be the owner, otherwise none of this is going to work. And he separates trumos and maestros. So what's the result? So, lo seitz lechulin. It may be truma. Now I say maybe, because so does Rashi, so I'm just following in Rashi's lead, meaning that you're not going to give it you can't give it to a zar, to a non-kohen, because it may have truma status. Now the kohen's not going to eat it, as Rashi explains, because we're not sure if the cheresh really has das in order to affect the hafrash as trumas and maestros, but there may be das there. So mimeshu suffik. So that truma remains in a state of suffik. Now the solution is that you're going to have to take truma again, and this, I guess, you're going to leave in just in the state of limbo. But the point of all this being as follows. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the cheresh may in fact have das. So now, on Shabbos, walking home, wallet in hand, Shabbos is coming, I got to give it to either, my choices are a cheresh or a katan. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, no brainer. The cheresh may be a bar mitzvah. I mean that literally. He may be someone who's obligated mitzvahs, he may have das. So, don't give it to the cheresh according to Rabbi Eliezer, give it to the katan. The katan right now is not a bar mitzvah. So give it to the katan right now. So, kiti bayalach liba de rabbanan. The question over here is according to the chachamim, because didnan, we are now learning together. This is the first. Sorry, I'm trying to find my way around. Yes, it is. First Mishnah in Trumas. It didnan chamisha lo yitruma yivim tarma ein trumas truma. Five people are not to take off truma, and if they do, it is totally ineffective. Elo ein cheresh ota vekatan. A cheresh, a shota, a kata. None of these people have any das whatsoever. V'atar mishena shalom, someone who takes off truma that does not belong to him, and he took it off without permission. If permission was granted, obviously he's a shliach. V'nachrish atar eshal yisrael, afil bereshu. So, and if a non-Jew were to take off truma that has no effect whatsoever, ain't truma, so truma. In all these cases, there is no truma. So, according to this mishnah and trumas, which is the position of the chachamim, the cheresh has no das whatsoever. So now, here's my choice now. Either I give it to the cheresh who has no das, or I give it to the katan who has no das. What is halachically preferable? My. L'cheresh, I've laid the katan asli l'chlal da'ah. Should I give it to the cheresh? Because right now, despite the fact that the katan doesn't have any das, but he will in future, and he read my mind, and there's an educational component to all this as well. Give the child a wallet before Shabbos, keep making him think now, oh, it's okay to carry a wallet on Shabbos, so that as he grows up, okay, it's an educational component as well. Oh, Dilma lekatan yaivlei decheresh asel achluf ibegadol pikeach. So, on the other hand, maybe it's better to give it to the child, because if I give it to the cheresh, so the next time this happens, which hopefully there will never be, but the next time this happens, I said to myself, you know, last time I gave it to an adult, this time I'll also give it to an adult. Not understanding that last time I gave it to a cheresh, it was not a bar mitzvah, it was not a mitzvah Shabbos, and this time I'm giving it to somebody who is mitzvah, who is a bar hachi. So the Gemara kind of hems and haws on this. And the Gemara does not know, halachically, who is it better to give it to? The cheresh or the katan? And the Gemara ends on this point, inconclusive. I don't know. I don't know who is it preferable to give it to. And finally, the Gemara comes around now full circle on this issue. Okay, we got it. You're walking home on Shabbos, you got stuck, now Shabbos is impending, Shabbos is looming, and you're not going to make it home in time for Shabbos. So number one, if you have a non-Jew, give it to a non-Jew. Number two, if you don't have a non-Jew, give it to an animal. And then number three, if you don't have a non-Jew, you don't have an animal, so then give it to, and then just simply figure out which one is halakhically best to give it to. A cherish or a shota or a katan, if given the choice. Okay, and now the Gemara wants to know, let's say you don't have all of the above. In other words, you got to go now to answer D, none of the above. Okay, you don't have an animal, you don't have a non-Jew, you don't have an animal, you don't have cherishot v'katan, so now you're at option D. What is option D, wonders the Gemara. So, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm a Rabbi Yitzchak. The Gemara over here is cloaked in mystery. There is a fourth option. Chachamim didn't want to tell us. Okay, and who am I now to reveal the secrets of the Chachamim? My od acheres aisa molicha pachos midalei amos. So the Gemara says, what you do is you move it in increments of less than 4 amos. Remember, we're talking right now about being mavidal amos b'rishos harabim. So that means that in order to violate that on Shabbos, you have to actually traverse a total of 4 amos, somewhere between 6 to 8 feet. If you walk in increments of less than dalet amos, so then you're not in violation of Shabbos.
Why is he revealing it?
Huh? Yeah, correct. We've heard it already a number of times. Yeah. So the Gemara wonders, why is it that the Chachamim did not want to say this? Mishum, Kvod Elokim Haster Davar, V'Kvod Malachim Chakor Davar. When it comes to Kvod Elokim, the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so you should be in concealment, you should hide. Meaning, if this was more revealed, and this was more broadcasted. So what's going to happen is that people are going to be very lax. Oh, don't worry, we're only carrying it just a couple of inches shy of Dalet Amos, and then people don't know where exactly to draw the line, and there will be Chil Shabbos. So, this is a method, it is legal, but it may in fact lead to Chil Shabbos, so the Chachamim wanted to kind of keep this one under wraps.
Is it a gazera not to do it, or is it just that?
Over the course of the Masechta, I've asked that question a number of times. Meaning, the Gemara is not particularly clear in terms of carrying something less than Dalet Amos. Is that totally okay, or like here you have a case where, right? It's a case over here where it's a wallet. People get crazy about the wallet. So over here, it's endorsed. But in general, generally speaking, however, I've asked the question already a number of times. It's not clear from the Gemara, at least to me. It's not clear from the Gemara whether the Gemara fully endorses it, or the Gemara really is not giving a valid hashkacha to such an act.
If you say people are so crazy about their money, right, you can put on a donkey or this or this, this. So this method is no worse. It's less than even that, no? Then they put it on your own donkey.
Right. It's clear. Let's put it this way.
Less than 4 amos.
It's clear from our Gemara right now that it had given the choice between walking less than 4 amos and Rishus Rabim or any of the above options, it's clear from the Gemara that the other options are preferable. I understand. I'm just drawing some very simple conclusions from the Gemara. Ukvod malachim chakor davar. Now, if it has to do with the honor of kings, so then chakor davar, then you do an investigation. Meaning there, don't hide, don't conceal. Kvod malachim, if it has to do with honor of the king, so then you investigate. The Gemara says very simply, because if you start broadcasting that it's okay on Shabbos and the Rosh Hashanah to walk less than 4 amos, so the obvious problem, people will walk 4 amos. Tanya Rabbi Lazar Omer Baba Yom Gachusa Rabbi Yoshua Omer Baba Yom Machku Sa'a. Now, you go back in the Masechta, you go way back to Daf Yud Zayin, okay? Short 130 some odd blot ago in Masechta Shabbos. So 130 blot, okay, it's nothing. It's four months ago, nearly 5 months ago. So you remember Daf Yud Zayin and Shabbos, where we discussed over there the gzeras of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Hananiah went up to the attic. Hananiah ben Chizkiah went up to his attic because Yechezkel, Sefer Yechezkel became extraordinarily controversial. There are things written in Sefer Yechezkel that are hard to understand. So what he did is that he went up into his attic with jugs of oil, and he penned a translation and a clarification on Sefer Yechezkel, and basically, and I use this both pun, with pun intended, he resurrected Sefer Yechezkel. Okay, and on one of those occasions, he was visited by students of Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, and a number of things came to a vote. And the halacha was decided like Beit Shammai in 18 matters. Okay? All of them being gzeres derabanan. And on these gzeres derabanan, were there too many gzeres derabanan that were enacted on that day? Now, who am I to say there were too many? So, I'm not. But, one of the Tanaim felt too many. Rabbi Elazar Omer Babayom Gadshusa. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the saw was gudash, megudash. Megudash means it was filled to the top, a little bit over, a little bit heaping, perfect. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Baba Yom, Machkusa'a. Machkusa'a, says Rashi, it was too much. Meaning, too many gzeros were enacted on that day. The Jewish people couldn't handle so many gzeros. Machku, it went over the top. Tanya mashal de Rabbi Eliezer lamad avadam lekupa maleakishuim vidiluim. Let's give a mashal for both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. We start with Rabbi Eliezer. Cucumbers. Now, when you put cucumbers in a barrel, so you know because of the shape of the cucumber, so it doesn't fill up the entire volume of the barrel. And then adam nosa lesocha chardal. Then you put the tiny little mustard seeds into the barrel. What's going to happen? They're going to go into the nooks and crevices of where the cucumbers are, where there's airspace in the barrel, vihi machzekes. Great. So in other words, you're able to fill it up with more. That is how Rabbi Eliezer views Yud Ches Davar. Meaning, it's a lot, but perfect. We totally filled the barrel. Mashal, the Rabbi Yeshua Lama Davadoma. Now Rabbi Yeshua says, I have my mashal, which is La Reva Malaya Dvash, where the bucket is filled with honey. Now, honey, of course, which is a liquid, it fills the entirety of the barrel. There is no airspace in the barrel. And now, what happens when you throw more things into the barrel? Spills over. Vehi makia. Gemara gives a very rough language over here. And it vomits it out, meaning it won't be able to handle all of that. So, interesting, we have over here at the end of the Masechta, a debate amongst the Tanayim, whether or not the Yud Ches Davar that was established in the attic of Hananiah ben Chizkiah, was it just enough? Or maybe, according to one Tana's opinion, too many gzeres. Okay, so, good place to stop. Okay, question was asked, putting on your donkey, letting your donkey walk, isn't that also a problem as well as Nanusa Daraisa? That's where we're going to be starting tomorrow. Okay, today we finished up the 23rd Perek of Shabbos. We discussed today post-mortem eulogies. We talked about the importance of Espadim and how Espadim really become the test of a person, whether he's a Ben Olam Haba. We talked about being prepared for the Yom HaMisa. The Gemara gives a wonderful mashal at the end of the 23rd Perek in terms of how to be a Baal Tshuva on the day right before you die. Right, with the obvious problem and then the solution, prepare. And then we started the 24th parak of Shabbos today, and we talked about giving your wallet over to a non-Jew as you're walking home for Shabbos. Okay, and we talked about halachically, non-Jew, animal, cheresh, shote, katan, and then what if none of the above? And then we said walking less than 4 amos on Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which, as the Gemara points out, is the secret the Chachamim did not want to reveal. And today I gave away secrets. Okay, continued refuah shlema for Binyamin Zeva Kohen Ben Sharon Rivka, for Rafal Zaka Avram Ben Yakira Avigal, Rabbi Chanan Ben Akasha Marotzakash Baruch Lezak Yisrael, Fi Chachir Ben Torah Mitzvah Shenema Anecha Fitzim Antzikol Yagdil Torah Viyadir.